Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence among us, all of you who are with us in person and all of you who are joining us online. Today is not only the first Sunday of December, it is the first Sunday of Advent. So you see signs of blue all over the sanctuary. We've got the Advent wreath, so we'll do our Advent wreath lighting litany in a little bit. For Advent, we still have devotionals and a few sets of candles if you do an Advent wreath at home. So if you want to get those on your way out, they are at the back door. Also at the back door are forms for Christmas designations. If you want to give a gift in memory or in honor of someone at Christmas, you can get poinsettias for the Christmas Eve service, or you can give a gift to the backpack program. Each are $15. So $15 for a poinsettia, or if you give $15 to the backpack program in memory or in honor of someone, that helps us to send food home with a child for the whole weekend, for the whole month of weekends. Immediately following the worship service today is the semi-annual congregational meeting. We'll vote on the proposed 2024 budget and incoming council members. And I see one of our recent confirmants, Maddie, today you get to vote at the annual meeting. This is your first time voting. So that's one of the gifts of being a confirmed member, is that you get to help us make decisions about the life of the church. In December, we do the basket offering on the first and second Sundays of the month instead of the first and third, because these gifts go towards staff Christmas bonuses. We have a wonderful staff here at Holly Grove. Judy and John, our administrative assistant. And so this helps us to give them a bonus for Christmas and thank them for their service. We have a lot of things going on in December, mostly fun. Tuesday night, the men's group is having their Christmas party. Wednesday night is our first Advent meal at 5:30 and then worship service at 6:30. I have gotten my message down so that the service will be done by 7, and that's a promise. That's a promise. Next Sunday, the Agape Circle invites anyone who would like to join them to go caroling to some of our older members in the congregation. So if you'd like to do that, they're going to have finger foods after. For those going caroling, bring a little finger food, or if you don't have time, that's okay. I'm sure there'll be plenty. And then come and join us to go caroling and spread some cheer to some of our members. In two Sundays, we have something very fun going on. The Fellowship Committee is hosting a cookie exchange. And so the hope is that people bring cookies and bars, and then you go around and you swap out and you try this one and, oh, that looks delicious, let me try it. And you get to go home with a container of other things while your stuff gets to go home with others as well. So there'll be hot chocolate, there'll be spiced tea. Bring a container, or you can purchase one for a donation, but I think that's gonna be a really fun time. One last announcement before we get to birthdays, anniversaries, baptisms. Tina Heitman has so generously been the one to orchestrate the angel tree. I'll let her offer a few words.
Good morning. Good morning. This year we have 8 people that we are going to help through the angel tree. And so over there, what I have done, since it's a little bit less than before, is there are 2 for each child. So on there we have all of their sizes, and then one card has something that they maybe want, and then one card has needs. All of these children are bus riders, so hoodies, jackets, and gloves are on there because they do have to stand outside. Some of the older kids that are on there are probably in the life skills class at Central. And so if you see Legos or things of that nature, it's because they still enjoy those types of things, even in a high school situation. So I hope that the tree will empty today. I have to have them back to Davis Townsend by Wednesday, December the 13th. So if you can have them here by Tuesday, December the 12th, I'll come pick them up that night to take them back to school. And what we normally do is we wrap them and then we put them all in one big bag and then just put your tag on top because we use numbers instead of names. So thank you in advance for helping us with our angel tree.
For helping orchestrate this and getting the names for us. Since there are a little bit fewer than usual this year, I do know of a couple of families also in need this Christmas. So if by the time you get over to the angel tree, all the things are gone, but you'd still like to do something, please reach out to me and I can direct you on how to help out a couple of other families. All right, time for birthdays, anniversaries. We've got a couple birthdays this week. Susan Lohr and Maddie Lohr Pope. Brandon and Brandy Conrad are celebrating their wedding anniversary this week. And then we've got several baptisms. Anderson Conrad, Everett Feeney. I don't know where he went. You're hiding back here. Everett, today is your baptismal anniversary. And then Carolina Conrad, Greg Kepley, and Kim Troutman. And I thought it was really interesting that they were all on the 8th of December. So I went back and looked, and you probably don't have any recollection. I need to ask Carolina. But you were all baptized the same year. So the three of you were baptized on the very same Sunday here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. I think that's really lovely. So let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. All right, we've got a few prayer shawls and a couple of prayer requests. Yes. So we have a prayer shawl for Mary Lou Watkins. This is Jan Watkins' sister-in-law who has been in the ER for a couple of days awaiting a room at rehab. So we hold her in prayer. Debbie Pope is Maddie's other grandmother. She has been diagnosed with breast cancer and has a journey of treatment ahead of her. Kathy Michael is my neighbor, Greg and Gyla's neighbor. She is having hip surgery and has some other health concerns, so we hold her in prayer. And we also want to hold Gaynell in prayer. Some of you know that Friday night, Gaynell fell. She is okay, but they found some GI bleeding. She had an endoscopy and they've treated it. She'll be in the hospital for another day or two. But she's really, really sore. Thankfully, it wasn't any worse than it was, but she's thankful for the prayers and asks that we continue to pray for her. So let us pray. God, we thank you that you hear us when we pray, sometimes with words, sometimes with sighs, sometimes with groans, and sometimes with tears. We lift up to you Mary Lou, Debbie, Gaynell, and Kathy. We ask that you would be with them, that you would remind them that you're present among them in their challenges, in their struggles, and that there are so many people here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church who love them and care about them and who are cheering them on. We ask that you would bless these prayer shawls, that as they feel the weight of them on their laps, on their shoulders, that they would feel the weight of the love and care that we have for them here at Holly Grove. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as the handbell choir offers a prelude. Please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who alone does wonders, who lifts up the lowly, who fills the hungry with good things. Amen. Let us confess our sin, trusting in the tender mercy of our God. God, for whom we wait, in the presence of one another, we confess our sin before you. We fail in believing that your good news is for us. We falter in our call to tend your creation. We find our sense of self in material wealth. We fear those different from ourselves. We forget that we are your children and turn away from your love. Forgive us, blessed one, and assure us again of your saving grace. Amen. God in Christ Jesus has looked with favor upon you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven. You are children of the Most High and recipients of divine mercy. God strengthens you anew to follow the way of peace. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Every day, every day.
with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. By your merciful protection, awaken us to the threatening dangers of our sins, and keep us blameless until the coming of your new day. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we begin to light the Advent wreath. This morning, lighting the Advent wreath is the Cecil family. While I say a few words, will you take the taper and go get the light from the candles at the altar, and then come back and light that blue candle? And let me move out of the way so they have plenty of room to do that. When we look around, we see shadows of hunger. So many neighbors nearby and around the world who will go to bed hungry tonight. When we look around, we see shadows of injustice, war, violence, genocide, hate, poverty. Somewhere, someone will sleep tonight without a home. In the face of hunger, we light the candle of hope. In the face of injustice, in the face of despair, we light a candle of hope. May the light from this candle overwhelm the world. May the light from this candle say that God's hope is coming on earth as it already is in heaven. Sisters and brothers, be not afraid. God's hope is at hand. In response to lighting the Advent wreath, we are going to sing verse 1 of the hymn in your worship folders. We're going to have the choir sing it first, and then we'll sing it after they do. About some of the ways that Jesus comes, I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. You guys want to have a seat here? Kate, will you get whatever it is wrapped in that cloth at the manger and bring it to me? Inside the little manger, will you bring that to me? Is it too heavy, Brantley says? Okay, let's bring that over here and see what it is. Because usually the manger is empty until Christmas when we put the baby Jesus in it because he's born. So what do you think is over there? What do you think's in here?
Baby Jesus.
Baby Jesus? Baby Jesus? Everybody think baby Jesus?
Yeah.
Okay. Kate, will you help me open the blanket? We're going to see what's inside. What is it?
Bread.
It's bread. It's a loaf of bread. Why do you think a loaf of bread was in the manger? That's so silly, right? Here, can you smell the bread? This is special bread. Oh, it smells delicious. This is homemade bread, actually, from Main Street Deli. It smells delicious. So it's kind of silly that there's bread in the manger, but actually not as silly as you think. Does anybody remember the town that Jesus was born in? Bethlehem. Is that what you were going to say, Kate? Bethlehem? Do you know what Bethlehem means? House of bread. Bethel means house. Lehem or lechem is bread. So if you were to go into a Jewish home at mealtime, they would always say this prayer. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Blessed are you for bringing forth bread from the earth, for bringing forth lechem from the earth. Jesus was born in the house of bread. That's pretty cool, because in Jesus' life, later when he grew up and he was teaching his disciples, Jesus said to his disciples, I am the bread of life. The bread of life. Jesus, the bread of life, was born in the house of bread. And you know something else is cool? Come over here and let me show you this manger. You want to come over here, Brantley? You want to see the manger? So this is a manger. Can you see Kate and Cameron? Can you come over here? This is the manger. This is where Mary, Jesus' mom, is it too heavy? We won't pick it up then. The manger, this is where Jesus' mom, Mary, put Jesus when he was born. She wrapped him in some cloth to keep him warm, and she put him in a manger. But do you know what a manger actually is? Do you think it's a baby bed? What is it?
It's where you put animal food.
It's where you put animal food. That's exactly right. This is a feeding trough. So there would have been hay in there, and that's where the animals would have gotten their food from. So in the house of bread, the bread of life was placed in a feeding trough, a place where food goes. And what do we do every Sunday at church? We eat together at communion. We eat bread and we drink wine because Jesus is the bread of life. And when we come and have bread and wine at communion, we are reminded that God loves us and cares about us, and we get to taste Jesus and Jesus' love when we have the bread. So as you're thinking about Christmas and Jesus coming, the bread of life was born at the house of bread, and he slept in a feeding trough, and he still feeds us today with his love. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for each other. And thank you for our church. Thank you for the bread of life and for feeding us every Sunday with your love. We love you, God. Amen. All right, you all may go to children's church with Anna if you'd like. Are you stuck? Oh no. Anna, he hurt his head. You'll have to check on that.
Lesson for today comes from 1 Corinthians. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always, for you became of the grace of God that has been given to you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and in knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you. so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lessons. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know the time when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy New Year, everybody. Now, every year when I say that, and I debated whether or not I should say it this morning, but every year when I say it, everybody says, "Huh, wait a minute. Has she had enough coffee this morning? Because why is it Happy New Year? It's not the 1st of January." And no, we are still 5 weeks away from January 1st tomorrow. We aren't singing Auld Lang Syne, but today is the first day, the beginning of the new year in the church calendar. So instead of partying last night and having the countdown till midnight and making resolutions this morning, instead, we're lighting the candle of hope on our Advent wreath, as we enter into this season of Advent, this season of hope, this season of faithful waiting. I love Advent. It delights me so much to see all the blue around. I forget how beautiful the blue pyramids are until I see them again every year. But as much as I love Advent, everything in our culture, in the world around us, is saying that instant gratification is the way to go. It's telling us to skip over Advent and just go right to Christmas. But maybe we can remember, even if it's just for a few moments each day, to pause and lean a little bit more fully into the gifts that God has for us in this season. Hope, peace, joy, and love. Advent means coming or arrival. In the first Advent, or the OG Advent, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, emptied himself completely and became human. God became one of us and lived among us. And in doing so, Jesus inaugurated the kingdom of God, God's reign of peace and justice, love and mercy. In his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus reveals to us and shows us what this reign of peace and justice looked like and how to live it. In the second Advent, when Christ comes again, he will fully and completely bring God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. But I have to tell you, I used to think that Advent was just a fancy church word for Christmas season. I thought it was an extension of the Christmas season. But what I've discovered over the years is that Advent isn't just a different word, and it's not just a different season, but it's a completely different approach to Jesus coming. Advent is the season in which we actively and intentionally remember and anticipate. We remember how God was faithful in Jesus coming at that first Advent, and we anticipate how God will be faithful when Jesus comes again in the second Advent. But I will confess that at first glance, if the words taken in Mark's gospel that we read today are taken literally, I don't have a lot of anticipation about that second coming, at least not hopeful anticipation. Something a little more like fear and dread comes into me when I hear these words. And that's exactly why we need to understand what these words meant in the context that they were written in, so that then we can understand them in their entirety. Because these words about this cosmic disturbance, about stars falling, it's not meant to scare us. Curiously enough, the original hearers of Mark's gospel would have been deeply encouraged and comforted by these words, which is what they were intended to be. But the meaning gets a little bit lost in translation. And in this case, not the translation of words, but the translation of what the words mean, the translation of context. Because we can't easily translate what these words mean from their ancient context into our modern one. And instead of asking you to figure it out, maybe you'll give me the liberty to tell you what's going on. What Jesus is trying to say to his disciples and to his followers is that while no one knows the exact time that I will return, you can be absolutely assured that I will come again. And until then, actively wait. Always be prepared, but not out of fear, out of hopeful anticipation, out of excitement and expectation. Because when I do come again, I'm going to gather all people together, and I will fully and completely bring about my kingdom of love and hope and justice and peace. And in this kingdom, death will be no more. There will be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering. I will set everything right. You see, this message is intended to be one of hope and encouragement. One of my favorite songwriters, J.J. Heller, has a song called Who You Are. in it, she tells the story of several people who are going through circumstances of loss, heartbreak, grief, sorrow. But every chorus says, "Sometimes I don't know what you're doing, but I know who you are." I wonder if you've ever felt that way about God. Sometimes we don't know what God is doing, but we know who God is. Sisters and brothers, we know that God is faithful and compassionate. We know that God is merciful, that God is slow to anger, and that God abounds in steadfast love. We know that God is love, and that love came to dwell with us and among us in Jesus. We also know that God's love is so powerful that it can bring life out of death, beauty out of ashes, hope out of despair. That love is so powerful that nothing can separate us from it. Not death, not life, not angels or rulers, not anything present or anything to come. Nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God. This is who God is. And so even if we don't know exactly when Jesus will come again, and even if we don't know exactly how it will happen and how it will unfold, we know who is coming. And because we know who is coming, that is reason for hope and encouragement, not fear. But I know very well that it's much easier to have fear and anxiety than it is to have hope about the future. And sadly, there are a lot of Christians out there who use fear about the end times to manipulate people, to coerce people into believing or acting certain ways. And that's harmful and wrong. And if you've ever been subjected to that, I am so sorry. Because fear is not of God. God is love, and God's perfect love casts out all fear. So yes, today's passage is about the end times. And yes, we don't know when or how Jesus will come. But we know Jesus. We know Jesus. And it's not going to be some different version of him that's somehow meaner or more vengeful that comes. It's going to be the very same Jesus who came 2,000 years ago, so humbly that he was born in a stable and slept in a feeding trough. It's the very same Jesus who turned the world upside down by declaring that in the kingdom of God, it's the merciful and the meek and the peacemakers who are blessed. It's the very same Jesus who invited the children to come to him, even when others wanted to send them away. It's the very same Jesus, because he is God, and he shows us what God is like: faithful and compassionate, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And so we wait, brothers and sisters, with hopeful expectation and anticipation. And while we do, we cry out, "Come, Lord Jesus, come among us and bring your kingdom and make all things new." Thanks be to God. Amen.
Oh, dear, Lord, Jesus, Lord, you say.
trust, let us confess our faith together with the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
We offer prayers for the church, the world, and all who await God's day of restoration. Call your church into holy fellowship as we await the restoration of all things. Re-energize your faithful people to live with hope and compassion. Center us on your promise to come among us and make all things new. Merciful God, all creation signals your presence, O God. The vastness of the cosmos, the turn of the seasons, the living things that both rest and flourish. Rekindle our commitment to care for the earth. Merciful God, let the nations tremble at your holy presence, that justice and liberation prevail in all corners of the earth. Restore peace to nations in conflict. Teach righteousness to corrupt leaders and systems, and bring stability to areas facing uncertain futures. Merciful God,
hear our prayers.
Enrich the spirits of all who feel hopeless, fearful, or despairing. Stay close to all in any need, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, Caroline, Greg, Bonnie, Chip, Rebecca, the family of Aldine Conrad, Jim, and all those we name now aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Merciful God,
hear our prayer.
Be with those who keep awake at night, nurses working overnight shifts, caregivers of newborns and aging adults, stargazers, those who are anxious, or those who are traveling. Reveal to all that the dark can be a place of calm and comfort filled with your presence. Merciful God,
hear our prayers.
You have gathered your faithful people from every time and place, calling them into one fellowship of saints. Bless the witness of those who dwell in your eternal presence. Merciful God,
listen to these and all our prayers, O God of the ages, and sustain us with your great and everlasting mercy. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you.
Together, God of our waiting and watching, we offer the gifts of our hearts and our lives to the service of all your people. Prepare the way before us as we meet you in this simple meal. Through Jesus Christ, our pathway and our peace. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life. Blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophet's hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Holy God, come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to Christ's banquet. Feast on God's gift of peace.
Amen.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
God, you have come among us at this table by the Spirit's power, formed to be bearers of your word, sharing gifts of mercy and grace with all, through Jesus Christ our Lord and our guest. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Thanks be to God.